Good morning and welcome to MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Collage, a journal of creative expression for MTSU students, is out, the fall edition anyway. It's a biennial publication. There will also be one in the spring, as there is each academic year. It is published under the auspices of the University Honors College. And here to talk with me about the art, poetry, and literature contained therein are Marcia Powers, who is the faculty advisor, staff advisor to Collage, and Hannah Green, who is this year's editor-in-chief and soon-to-be MTSU graduate. Mm-hmm. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Let's start with Marcia, because you're a veteran of a few of these. What do you think is different about the fall collage than other publications or editions of the publication that you've shepherded through the process in the past?
I think one thing that's different is that students have become more aware of collage in subsequent semesters, and now they're really making an attempt to submit their best work. I think we had the best submissions that we've ever had, mm-hmm. and I think this issue shows that. It reflects the talents of our MTSU students.
Do you remember how many total submissions you had? Just ballpark, round number?
About 230. Is that right, Hannah?
Something like that, yes. Yeah.
That's across all the categories, art,
right.
Photography, literature, everything. Mm-hmm. Hannah, you're the editor-in-chief. How did you acquire that title?
Well, I've been on staff, it's probably my fourth or fifth semester, and I've been working my way up, I guess, the little ladder of staff collage. I started out as the just general review staff for art, and then worked up to art editor, and then visual editor, and then applied for editor-in-chief when Marcia asked me to come and be a part of that position. So
now you're an art major, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And your personal artworks have been on display in the Todd Gallery here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about how your love of art helped give you an eye for determining what should and should not go into this publication.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it kind of started, I submitted two or three semesters in a row for collage, and so I was reading it when it came out. I don't think I ever got in, ironically.
But
seeing that in collage each semester, and then we have a lot of publications that we have to subscribe to for our classes so that we get an eye for what's contemporary around us, and so we're not just a little pocket of art in the art department. Mm-hmm. And I guess just seeing what's going on in the world and seeing what's going on with my classmates, I encourage each one, that's a really good piece, you should submit it for collage or something like that. So, and I think with all of our art history classes, you get a critical eye for what's going on in each piece and what it represents. So,
since so much of art and literature is a matter of subjective appeal, mm-hmm. what kinds of criteria do you and the collage staff members use to determine what merits inclusion in the publication?
Okay, we have a couple of categories that we usually rate it on a 1 to 10 basis, and then it's an average of those scores. It's like use of color and creativity and skill, like could you do that if you just picked up, something, or would it actually take, some know-how and some technique? A couple of just categories, and then also whether you like it overall, because everyone has an opinion, so we try and make that count.
Do you look at everything as it comes in prior to the deadline and give it an immediate assessment, or is there something of a comparison process between one work and another work?
Well, what we do is they all come in by the deadline. We enter them digitally to a website, and so we try to keep it anonymous so that the staff members don't know who did which piece. And then we obviously put a number by each piece, and then you go through and grade each piece. So you're looking at all the art, hopefully at one time, or at least you look at all of it and then grade in segments. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of comparison to each other, which ones you like the most, which ones are most successful. Mm-hmm. So,
Marcia, what do you consider your role in the whole process be? I mean, are you more of a hands-on person when it comes to guiding them, or do you leave it largely to their judgment and just be there as a sounding board if they need you?
That's basically it. I leave it entirely up to them. I do read and judge each piece. I look at each piece of art, each piece of photography. I do that and give it my own grade, but my grades don't count. So I'm just kind of in the background when they're making the decisions, and that's why we're so careful to try to have, you know, qualified staff members, and we love this of being able to see them come up through the ranks of collage and learn. I think they become so much more discriminating as they are there each semester and they learn more about, you know, literature and about art and about photography and that kind of thing. So I'm just mostly in the background, and sometimes I might make an observation, but it's merely that, and I let them make the decisions.
People might be inclined to think that all of the contributors are art and English majors, but that's not necessarily the case,
not
is
at all.
Not by far.
Tell me some of the other majors that some of the contributors or some of the entrants even have had. I mean, does it totally run the gamut? Do you have people from basic and applied sciences contributing their literature? Or
it really does.
Yeah, we have everything from biology and political science and all over
interior
the place.
Design.
Yeah.
And we just, even our staff is that way as well. We have certain members on our staff who are just kind of at the bottom level, but they're important as well, who may be a biology major or a chemistry major or a political science major, something of that sort, but yet their opinion is very valuable because they're a person who is interested in these things, and they also reflect the person of the student at large who may be not trained in an area, but they have an opinion, so it counts.
I think we even have an accounting major, too.
We do have an accounting major.
So you don't necessarily have to have a major if you are a student who wants to be on the collage staff. You don't necessarily have to have a major which is inclined toward art, literature, photography, or whatever. Your opinion will be valued just as well.
Right. You may not make it to editor-in-chief or literature editor if you're not an English major or an art major, but you can be a very valued member of the staff if you're really interested.
It says in the back that it was produced with the Adobe InDesign CS3, Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator, using an iMac. Do you have to be adept at those particular computer programs in order to put collage together? Or is that done just by particular members of the staff, or is it outsourced?
No, we have a designer. It's usually we have can either draw from media design or graphic design. Is that correct, Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
And we choose one this semester. For next semester, we have one from the art department. We've had them from the journalism department as well. But they are trained in these things, and they already know how to use these software and these computers when they get there. And so we're very careful about the selection of that person particularly, but that's the most specific skills that are for the designer.
Mm-hmm. And is it printed? No, it's printed by Franklin Press of Nashville, I see here.
Actually, yes, that's correct. Franklin Graphics.
Something that is unique this year in collage, and that is that there are awards being offered in each of the four categories, the best entry in poetry, photography, prose, and art gets $50 each. Mm-hmm. And this year's winners, we should acknowledge, are in the poetry category, Jen Hayes for Strawberry Picking; in photography, Marcus Laxton for Daybreak; in prose, Taffeta Chime for Except from Barefoot; and in art, Adam Gaskill for Rag and Bone. And the awards are part of the overall I guess incentive to get more students to participate. Has it proved to be an incentive, or do you think that the increase in submissions has been more due to overall interest in the magazine more so than the financial incentive?
I think it's definitely part of the award, but I think before we only had one award or two awards. I think the chances of getting an award being, you know, more in their favor And also the quality of the magazine just keeps getting better and better. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, I would like to be a part of that, and I wouldn't mind getting an award. Mm-hmm. So.
And collage gets entered in intercollegiate competition every year. Tell us a little bit about that, Marcia.
We are a member of the Columbia Scholastic Press Association out of Columbia University in New York, and we do submit both of our issues of the magazine each spring for judging, and we find out, I've forgotten exactly when, in the fall, mm-hmm. if we, how we've done as far as just kind of a ranking, like they call it gold medalists for mm-hmm. the highest ranking, and that's what we've achieved each time. But we don't find out until winter, maybe December or January, if we're going to be in competition for a crown award, which is the most elite awards. It's only the top maybe 3% of magazines that submit to the, or that enter into the competition that win those. So we don't know about that yet.
But you have won numerous awards in the past.
We have. We've won Silver Crown Awards for the last four issues, so, or the two times for the last four issues combined, so.
It always has a colorful cover. it's always attractive, and basically you deposit them at various places around campus so that people mm-hmm. can just pick mm-hmm. them up. They're free of charge. The Honors College, basically, just a little bit of history, came to Collage's rescue at one point in its history. Talk a little bit about basically how much it cost to put Collage together, and I think you get a lot of bang for your buck and a mm-hmm. lot of quality mm-hmm. Out of very little expenditure.
I saw the bill this morning for this issue, and it was a little over $5,000 for this issue. We print about 3,000 copies mm-hmm. and distribute them mostly on campus, some off campus to members of our Honors College Board of Visitors and other universities to their magazines as well. But about $5,000, I think it's a pretty quality publication for that price, though. And I think it really gets the students noticed when they're published in a magazine that looks like this. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a lot of bang for your buck.
At one time it looked like there was not going to be a collage anymore, but then right. it was put under the auspices of the Honors College, and you get a lot of support from them, don't you?
We really do. Dr. Phil Mathis was the dean at the time when faculty members came to him and asked him to help them rescue collage, and he was really very glad to do that. And Dean Vial is there now, and he is very, very supportive, and really the whole honors staff mm-hmm. is. We really couldn't get more support, and yeah. we have a faculty board that helps us with collage, and they're some of them are honors faculty, but others are not. They're just professors on campus who really care about it, and they care about the students and seeing the students having the opportunity to be published. So we get a lot of support on campus, and we're grateful for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Can you put into words what you think the value of having a student arts and literature magazine is to a campus community? I mean, some people might wonder why, but this is really the best outlet, I think, that I have seen for self-expression, because what kids write in class is not going to get mm-hmm. any exposure mm-hmm. to any kind of a reading public or viewing public outside of displays like Hannah's in the Todd Gallery. Mm-hmm. And if you are writing literature instead of doing sculpture or painting, then it's not as though you're going to get your own exhibit somewhere. So talk a little bit, Hannah, about what you think the value of collage is to the campus community.
I think it's very important. A lot of classes require in part of their curriculum that you be published or have your work shown in a show, and collage is a great way to get that done, but not only for a class, but as a part of your resume if you want to get started on building that up, maybe for graduate school or even for going out in the world. And then it's also a great way to get into how that works, like how the publication process works. And I think it's very important to showcase the quality we have at MTSU, too, mm-hmm. give people away.
Now, what if some of the creative people who work on collage want to put their own contributions in? Is that kosher, or is that verboten? Is that against the rules?
They have to wait till they graduate. Yeah. After they graduate, they have one semester to submit their work. So. can't do both. We don't want to be unfair to the campus because it would look like we were being biased toward our own people, right. No matter whether we were or not. And we don't want that to be the appearance at all. We want to be completely above board and fair to everyone and try to choose everything anonymously. And so,
well, let me read one of the entries. This is called Untarnished Name by Alex Grant. Just to give you an example of what we're talking about here. The slippers are warm and soft on my feet. I finger my mustache and butter a piece of toast. A coffee maker gasps for water one last time, and the newspaper smacks against the door. Eva kisses my mouth, then goes to retrieve the coffee and the morning paper. Upstairs, the shuffling of Hines getting ready for school. Soon he will bounce down the steps to sit in Uncle's lap. I will muss his blonde hair and feed him orange slices. We will share the bond of favoritism. Eva sets the paper and coffee in front of me, takes an orange slice and some toast for herself, and looks lovingly up at me, glowing. These peaceful mornings, wars are far away, forgotten. We remember only the seeming fiction of headlines. This afternoon, my friend Jacob and I will sit by an olive tree in the park and play chess. And tonight I will have visions of a different life, and I will be thankful for this life I have. I will be thankful for the goodness, for family, for the things that could have been but have not been, that I will be lost in the pages of history. It really set the tone and shows you that some people have different priorities than the, oh my God, I've got to get my paper in way of life that students are accustomed to. He's looking forward to a more contemplative existence, and yeah, God bless him for it. There's one of the works of photography, or art, I should say, that caught my eye. Creative Nonfiction, we were discussing it before we went on the air, is the title of it. John Newhoff is the artist. He made this picture out of cigarettes, corn syrup, and vanilla extract. And it's a very soulful looking male face. A Christian might be inclined to think that it's Jesus Christ. It may be or may not be. I don't know. And if you look at it closely, you can see that it is indeed made out of cigarettes. Looks like that some of them are white and some of them are brown. Some of them might have even been roll your own. I don't know. But you were saying that as fascinating as this is, you couldn't keep it around in the office very long. Why not?
Well, he used all used cigarettes, so it definitely carried that smell, the stigma of the cigarette that he used.
You could not smell the vanilla extract. it smelled like an ashtray.
Yeah, very strong.
When I went home that evening, my clothes smelled like cigarettes.
Oh my God! They had all been used. He did not use any new cigarettes.
No,
correct.
I hope he didn't smoke them all.
No, he picked them up, found them. So I guess it was kind of a cleanup too.
And you couldn't
cleaned
smell,
up campus.
You couldn't smell the corn syrup?
No.
But it was sticky
when we
tried to move it.
But
I guess that's kind of part of the piece and experience.
It was one of the more unusual fun pieces that we got this semester. Mm-hmm.
Did it hold together? I mean, I imagine cigarette butts just dropping all over the floor or something if the stickum didn't hold.
No, it was very solid, very crafted piece. So it stuck together.
It did.
He's going to have to find some place to display that. Dr.
Ball suggested we should have made it a scratch and sniff piece. So that people could get the full impact.
Here's another item. It's right next to the Creative Nonfiction, The Cigarette Man. Family Portrait by Rachel Lefort. In the center is my father, bent over a pile of colorful boxes, wrapping paper stripped and discarded, hurrying to assemble the contents before his three boys explode from anticipation, birthday cake and ice cream, all of which is smeared across their eager faces. Their mother leans against a doorway in the background, arms crossed, lips pursed, wishing he'd hurry up and finish. I never met her, although in my childhood, choice words become associated with her name when my mother signed the check every month for boys, now grown into young adults. His unlined face and the twinkle in his eyes as he looks at her brother. I don't know, makes me always wonder if they got the better part of him and we just got what was left over. They're really thoughtful pieces in here. Not that some things don't rhyme, but it is far more creative and innovative than Moon Spoon and June. There's a photograph in here by Chet Overall called Love Is All You Need. A young mini-skirted woman, bare-legged, is standing in front of what looks like an old car from the 1950s that one might make out in at the drive-in movie, something like that. I guess the message he's sending there is that all you need is a car and the right girl, and you got what you want, he's got what he wants.
I love the subtle elements, the way her hands are shaped in the shape of a heart, and she has hearts on her shoes as well. I think that was a nice touch.
Yeah. In the past, have you had as many people on the staff as you do this time? It looks like you have about 10 or 12 people on the staff for this particular edition.
It varies.
Yeah, we've had, from about 20 to, 12 or 13. And we have numerous positions, but not all of them are filled every semester. And but we get a pretty good rounded staff that does the job, so.
Do you sometimes find that people have to do double duty? Or does each member of the staff have his or her own designated task?
They do have their own task. Occasionally, when someone gets very busy, someone else ends up doing someone else's job.
Yeah.
I know there have been times in the past when the designer ended up doing the art editor's job and had to do all the photoshopping and resizing and that kind of thing, but usually everyone pretty much does their job, and you have a person who's under them who assists them. And in recent semesters, we've had not only like a literature editor, but we also have an assistant literature editor and a poetry editor, a prose editor. So that person has people up under them who are learning and assisting. So it works really well that way.
How do you deal with, or have you ever had any issues regarding censorship? Perhaps someone wanted to express himself in language that some people found to be too scatological or too suggestive. How do you deal with those kinds of decisions?
Well, they go through the same, all pieces go through the same process as far as being graded. And we have a few off-color words in this issue, but they're not scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
We do, as a publication of the Honors College, seek a little bit of a higher plane, but we don't dismiss something because it's not what we would hope for. They're just judged the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody submitted a painting, for example, it just happened to be that of a nude, it would not be automatically dismissed out of hand.
Nothing
because
is.
It was nude.
Nothing is.
It just depends on how it is graded and how it appeals to the staff and its quality and the way it was done. And I think sometimes the taste of a figure or something that in the work of art affects how people view it and therefore how they vote it. But we try not to talk to each other while we're grading, so we don't influence each other's opinions. So it's pretty open.
We sort of, as part of the Honors College, we see ourselves as a PR piece. So we hope that what we get will be acceptable to most people, but occasionally there's something in here that I don't really care for. But I've seen a change in the submissions through the semesters. When the Honors College first took on the publication, more submissions seemed to be aimed at shock value.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get much of that anymore. I mean, you may still get a nude, but it's going to be a very tasteful, artistic nude, not just something like, how raunchy can I be?
Right.
It's really going to be nice. But we don't actually get many of those, though. But we don't think we got any this semester. But, if it's true art or true lit, then it's all graded the same.
I've never seen anything that found to be offensive. I found a few things that I, you know, didn't quite understand. But
I tell Hannah that I don't understand art. I'm glad she does. I like it, though.
Are you already at work on the spring edition?
We are already accepting submissions.
Mm-hmm. We already have at least three submissions.
We do.
Yeah,
and, we accept them year-round, really.
Mm-hmm. We're loading them onto our computers and website to get ready.
What is the deadline for the spring edition?
February the 6th, I want to say, if that's a Friday. Mm-hmm. Early February. That's a pretty short time frame for people to get things in. That's why we encourage them to submit early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they submit something, say, for the fall, and they were late in making the fall deadline, then you will carry that over
yes.
and consider it for the spring?
Yes. If they would like for us to do that, we definitely do that. Yes.
And if a piece doesn't get in, but they still want to submit it again, we'll take it again, because we have a different staff, you know, different eyes each mm-hmm. semester. Mm-hmm.
So. There's a statement in the back of the book. It's our policy statement, and in there we say that we attempt to choose the best submissions. I believe that's what it says. Mm-hmm. And that's because, like Hannah said, we have a different staff every semester, and their opinions and their training and their taste is different each semester. So, you know, there's no perfect solution to what are the best pieces for the magazine. It's always a matter of opinion, I mm-hmm. guess. So we hope that we've chosen the best ones, but something may be really, really wonderful and we may have overlooked it. So that's why we do encourage people to resubmit. And we've had a number of things that have been submitted for a second time and made it in the second time mm-hmm. because maybe they tweaked it a little bit. It's like a piece of lit or something. They may have tweaked it a little bit and it's made all the difference.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We have, I think, two pieces in this semester that are resubmitted literature pieces.
I believe so.
Yeah. And sometimes there's just not room enough in the magazine for all the work that we want to put in.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So.
Is it about the same size every edition?
It is the same size every edition. Our goal, our dream for the future when we get past this financial crunch is to actually expand the magazine and maybe to include alums or people from other honors colleges or in some way to expand it, to make it something that a lot of people could be involved mm-hmm. in. We think it's great. We love it. So we just want to share it.
It's about 32 pages.
32 pages.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be going on to graduate school, mm-hmm. you hope.
Yes.
Have any advice for future members of the collage team?
I guess just dig in and get as involved as you can, because mm-hmm. it's really, really rewarding. And I hadn't thought about writing for an art, you know, purpose. Till this semester, one of my professors commented on my writing for about art and like art critical writing for art. And I hadn't thought about it, and she's like, we've been in collage this whole time, you didn't think about it? And I was like, you know, I really have enjoyed that, and I've learned a lot. So, yeah, you'd be surprised, you know, what you learn. And the people you meet, you get to meet a lot of great students. So.
Well, it looks like you're going to have to combine the verbal and the visual. If you go to graduate school, you'll be writing a lot of papers about
mm-hmm.
art, I trust.
And making a lot of art, and all the same time.
Well, Hannah, I just have to say this quickly. Hannah was an amazing editor, and she did a great job with both the editing and the art. So.
Thank you.
Before time slips away, if people want to know more about collage, who do they contact and how do they contact them?
Well, they could actually send an email to collage@mtsu.edu, and that is checked daily, so that would be the best way.
It's collage@mtsu.edu.
Yes.
Marcia Powers is the collage faculty advisor, staff advisor, and Hannah Green, the outgoing editor-in-chief of Collage, the Journal of Creative Expression. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Loeb. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. You can download the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and don't forget, we're also available on iTunes.